We're glad that you've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word? We want you to know that your investment in His Will Ministry helps you to spread God's Word around the world. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you. And here's Pastor Warner.
But I always thought there was more. I hungered. And as a young man, I hungered for the wrong things. I praise God that He picked me up out of New Mexico. He stuck me in a little town of 800 people at 10,000 feet in Colorado. Now let me tell you, it's like Wyoming there. There was like one girl to every five guys. So I didn't even have to worry about the dating problems when I was in high school because there was nobody to date. By the time I moved in there, everybody was taken. The only thing I really learned how to do in that little town is drink. And let me tell you, you young people, you don't want to learn how to do that. There's no profit in it at all. It gives you headaches. But I praise God that He isolated me in that little town and put me up in His nature and took me away from a lot of what I could have gotten involved in and let me seek Him. Because I grew closer to the Lord being away from most people and in nature. But I still hungered. And as you and I have talked over the last few weeks, what I was hungering for was a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I didn't know it at the time, but that's what I was hungering for. When I got saved, I didn't even know what a close relationship with Jesus Christ was, let alone what it would hold for me. Now, I've been saved almost 30 years now, and it's taken me the good part of that 30 years to grow to know Jesus Christ. And I still am starving to know more about Him. I open my Bibles, or I listen to old evangelists, and I think, man, I'm still missing a lot. And this week was one of those weeks. I was going to speak to you guys about what I started out as, what I told you last time. We're going to get into the Acts of the Apostles so that we can go on into the epistles, but God woke me up this week and said there's something far more important than that. He says there's something you've got to understand before you get through. An old evangelist friend of mine once said, and I call him a friend even though he died like 25 years before me, because I love his works, said, I dare you to go through God's living Word and find me a silent, Holy Ghost, baptized believer in God. He says, you can't find one. Anytime the Holy Ghost came down, anytime they got to know Jesus, the first thing they did was what? They went out and shared it. They went out and shared it. They went out and told people. They went out and acted. And I thought, well, that's good, Lord. I understand that, but what gives it? How? We need some help here. So He led me into the Old Testament, into Psalms. And I thought, what better place to go? Here's David, and we know David. David went from the depths of depression, the depths of depravity from murder, all the way up to the top. I mean, David was the king, David was the bottom. So David knew every end of everything, didn't he? You could ask David a question, and even though he didn't have Solomon's wisdom, he knew it. He knew the answer. And all you have to do is study the Psalms, and you can see David knew the answer. He says in Psalms 118, starting in verses 10, all the nations surround me, now get this, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surround me, yes, they surround me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surround me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Now David doesn't say here, the Spirit of the Lord, the power of the Lord, God Himself is going to come to my rescue. What does David say? He says, in the name of the Lord. Now, David is speaking in Psalms long before Jesus was born. But David knew that there was power to be had in the name of the Savior. And this is the key we have to see here. In Psalms 124, verse 8, David says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Not in the Spirit of the Lord, not in from God, but in the name of the Lord. Now, as soon as we switch into the New Testament, we discover the name of the Lord, of course, is Jesus. And there is, you know, we sing the song, there is power in the name. Well, there is power in the name. And I'll give you some personal examples and some others, but we'll go through. There is power. And this is where we have to really, really hold on to this. There's power in the name of Jesus. Power that can transcend illness, that can transcend poorness, that can transcend anything the world can throw at us. Anything. That power in the name of Jesus. Let's look what Solomon. Solomon was the smartest man in the world. He asked for wisdom, and God made him wiser than anyone. In Proverbs chapter 18, verses 10. I love this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And what does it say? The righteous run to it and are safe. Doesn't say God will encompass me with His wings. Doesn't say the Holy Spirit will protect me. It says the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a tower. And the righteous, which is us, we're going to do what? We're going to go underneath that name. Just like we sing, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Well, you could change that. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the name of the Lamb. They can be interchangeable. The name of Jesus, and this is part of the reason I honestly believe the church is in the state it is in today. I was weeping yesterday morning because the Casper Star Tribune, in its religious section, had a complete, full-page article about the Presbyterian Church currently voting to ban gay and homosexuals from being ordained as ministers. And they had a picture of one of the ministers, a gay minister, that had already been ordained into the church. Now, I love all God's creatures, but I am like God. If it's in this book, it's His Word and I believe it. And God said, that is a sin. And not only is it a sin, but it's one of the few things that He lists is an abomination to Him. But because we don't understand as Christians the workings of the Holy Spirit, because we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, and because we don't understand the power that abides in His name, we can do things like that. My wife's been reading this book, and I love it. I should get a whole bunch of copies. It's called The Jezebel Spirit. How many of you ever studied Jezebel? Jezebel was out to kill every single prophet of God in every way she could. Torture them, kill them, eliminate them. And there was only one she didn't get. But she did a pretty successful job. Well, this book talks about how the Jezebel spirit gets into our churches. And it's through people that get in and then just slowly sow dissent. Slowly sow the problems. And the reason those people get into the church is because of the fact that we don't know the power we hold as Christians. We read a book called Pagans in the Pews, and most of you are familiar with the New Age movement in this country. the fact that there's crystal power. There's power in just about everything you do, according to the New Age. They even have their own little goddesses. In fact, their god is supposedly the mother of God. And they actually have a Bible written where their god is the mother of God. But the book was about how they have had a collective working of getting into mainstream Christian churches and slowly but surely diluting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you look at the churches, did you know that in the very near future there'll be a version of the New International Bible that is going to be published that is politically correct and God is no longer a he? That's a Bible with the name Bible, Holy Bible, and it's that what's happening. Because we don't take the power of Jesus seriously. Let's look in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and on. And now all who believed were together, or chapter 3, I'm one chapter off, chapter 3. Let's start at the beginning. Now Peter and John went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried there daily to the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple. Now all the kids know this song. I mean, they've sung it a million times. Seeing Peter and John go into the temple and ask for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something. And Peter said, "Silver and gold do I have not, but what I do have I give you, now watch, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up immediately, his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and so he, leaping, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Now, here you have two guys that were uneducated, were poor fishermen that had no money, nothing. But what did they have? They had, one, the power of the Holy Ghost on them. Two, they had a personal relationship with Jesus. And three, they had seen the power of Jesus' name. So they didn't say, "I'm going to heal you, boy." They said very simply, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." Just very simply, "In the name of Jesus, walk." Now, Peter and John get in trouble for this. If we look over in chapter 4, starting at verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means hath he been made well? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands whole before you." Now, what's this show us? There's true power. There was a case where this Episcopalian vicar, this was overseas, he was sick. He'd been sick for months. And somehow he got hold of a little Bible tract that talked of healing. And he knew that there were some revivals going on in his town. And he contacted the people and asked them to come over and pray for him. So six young men went over. They did what they were supposed to. They anointed him with oil. They laid hands on, and they prayed that he be healed. And nothing happened. Not a thing. Not one thing. He was depressed, dejected. They were downtrodden. As they were walking out, the Holy Spirit whispered to one of the men, "You forgot something. Jesus." And he said, "Let's try something." They walked back upstairs, laid their hands on the man, and did nothing, but the six of them started whispering, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And as the Holy Ghost came down, it got louder. "Jesus, Jesus." The Holy Ghost came more. "Jesus." Till they were shouting, "Jesus, Jesus." Their eyes were closed and they noticed the bed start to shake. And when they opened the eyes, the vicar was up and dressed, praising God. And all they did was, "Jesus." There was a man who was a pastor. He was a pastor of the gospel during the evenings, and he worked in the coal mines during the day. This is back in the 1800s. Well, he got what was currently at that time called consumption, which we know now as tuberculosis. Well, he had had this for 4 years and had not been able to get out of bed. Well, Satan had done his duty. This man had no faith, no belief. An evangelist had received a card from two gentlemen saying, "You need to come raise our Lazarus." Because as far as they were concerned, this man was dead. Said, "You need to come to our town and raise our Lazarus." Well, he ignored it. And one day he was praying and the Lord said, "You need to go." Well, he went. And when he got there, the unbelief, it was just horrible. The man that greeted him said, "Just go upstairs and look at him and you'll leave. Just leave. You'll leave. You won't stay. You'll find no reason to stay." He got upstairs, and here was a man that had been spoon-fed laying in bed, and his exact description was, it was like a bag of skin laying on bones. A bag of skin laying on bones. Guy could barely whisper. And he said, "Can you believe? Will you shout the name of Jesus with me?" And he says, "I can't believe. I just can't believe. I won't believe. Look what he's done to me. I can't believe." So the evangelist left. And he prayed. And the Lord said, "Fast and pray." Next morning he got up, fasting, praying, went up to the man and said, "Will you believe?" And he says, "I can't believe." Well, this time he brought six other fellows with him. And they laid hands on him and just started saying Jesus. One held one side, around in a circle, held the other. "Jesus, Jesus." Well, after about 2 or 3 minutes, the bed started to shake. Well, it wasn't the Holy Ghost shaking the bed this time. It was the man. His eyes, his face was starting to shake. Tears were coming down his eyes. His lips were quivering. And they just kept saying, "Jesus." And he finally said, I'm sorry. I have to repent." He says, I have hated God because he's done this to me and I have no belief and I can't go on." And the evangelist said, "Well, repent and ask him for forgiveness." And he did. And then they started saying, "Jesus." And they felt the bed shake. And the evangelist told the other six guys, "You can go now. God's going to take care of this." And he went and sat in the corner just praying. And he said the whole room shook. And that man stood up, got dressed, and went out and started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ again. God rebuilt him just through the power of Jesus. The power of the Lord's name. And my personal favorite is, as you know, my wife has not needed asthma medicine for about a month and a half. God led me, as usual, to step out on my little faith. Well, Tuesday, she was always picking on you. You remember, she told you I always used to carry my little inhaler right here. Well, Tuesday morning I noticed it wasn't in my pants for some reason. It was on the kitchen table, and I didn't pick it up. We went to our office in Pinedale, and she was digging around in the back closet, and she's deathly allergic to mold. She got a face full of mold, and her lungs, like that, shut down. No medicine, no nebulizer, no little inhaler that I always carried for, because my faith wasn't good enough, I had to have my security blanket. So I did what I knew how to do. I got on my knees and I prayed to the Lord. Didn't get any worse, but didn't get any better. I pulled out my handy dandy anointing oil that I never go anywhere without. And I anointed her. And I laid my hands on her. And I prayed over her. Didn't get any worse, but it didn't get any better. We're out in the middle of nowhere by now in the car. We couldn't get to anywhere if we had to. And the Lord said, "Jay, what did I teach you this morning? What lesson were you supposed to learn this morning?" And I had just finished studying about the power of Jesus' name. And I looked at my wife, who could barely breathe, and I said, I know this sounds strange, but just start saying Jesus with me over and over and over again. And we did everything. You know, Jesus is the sweetest name. We did every Jesus song we could think of. And we did Jesus, Jesus. And within under 5 minutes, she was singing full volume with absolutely no residual effect of her asthma attack. Now, in the old days, it would take her a good hour to recover, even with medicine, from an asthma attack. But in under 5 minutes, using the power that's found in the name of Jesus, she was healed. And this is where we really need to grasp on. God didn't send us out. Nowhere does it say, Jesus said, go ye weenies and preach the gospel. He says, what? Go boldly and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, don't worry about what you're going to say, because when the moment comes that you need to say it, who? The Holy Spirit will give you utterance. Well, see, I got to praise God for the Holy Spirit, because I was almost in a third-class panic, and I wasn't thinking Jesus. I was thinking, hospital! But the Holy Spirit said, calm down, Jay. Just remember what I taught you. And it worked. Because it's a promise from the Lord. Let's look at Paul. I love old Paul, how he does these things. Chapter 16 of Acts. Paul and Silas, they're out here, been preaching. And most of us probably wouldn't mind, but Paul, it got irritating. There was a demon-possessed girl here. And, you know, she's great advertising. She's going around telling everybody, these are from the Most High God. Listen to them. You know, to me, that's advertising, free advertising. I don't know if I'd cast out the demon for a while, but Paul couldn't take it. And he says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit and fortune-telling. And this girl followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned around and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. Now, even though we read here that Paul was very, he wasn't doing this to heal her in a kind, loving manner. This was just Paul being upset that the advertising had gone on too long and now he was trying to pray. He turned around and just, I command you in the name of Jesus, out! And instantly, she was gone. Now, of course, if we read on, we find that Paul got in trouble for that because the people that were making money off of her did not take real kindly to it. But the point is, the power was there in the name of Jesus. It wasn't in Paul. It wasn't in the name of the Spirit. It was in the name of Jesus. We are given the power. Everywhere we study, everywhere we read God's living Word, we are given the power over Satan. We are given the power over demons. We are given the power over sickness, over health. And it all is centered on the name of Jesus Christ. That is the key, the conduit for that power. That is what transmits that power. The Holy Ghost gives us the ability to grow and get that personal relationship with Jesus. But it is the name of Jesus Christ. We have to go back always to the classic. This is the verse that's quoted by everywhere. James chapter 5, verse 14. If anyone among you is sick, let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. See, even there where we say the elders, we have to call the elders. You know, people forget that part. Oh, he's sick. Let's call the elders together, anoint them with oil, and pray over them. But they never say, pray over them in the name of Jesus. They always say, oh, well, someone's sick in the church. Let's get the elders together, anoint them, and pray over them. But we can't forget in the name of Jesus. Now, there's a key to this. And you guys already know this, but there's a key. We can't just in the name of Jesus anything. We have to first have a relationship and know Jesus. If we look in Acts chapter 19, we get an example of what can happen to us when we don't know Jesus. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Remember what happened here? There were also seven sons of Sceva, the Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man whom in the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, and they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and the fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now what happened? Now these poor guys, they didn't just get scared, they got beat up. They got beat up so bad that their clothes were, this had to have been a heck of a fight. When you think you have seven guys against one, and they're the ones that ran out of the house naked and beat up. What did they do wrong? They used the name of Jesus that Paul preached. They didn't have the foundation that we've been talking about, did they? A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't use the name of Jesus to cast out a demon if you don't know who Jesus is. If you don't have a one-on-one personal relationship with Jesus, you better not try casting out a demon, or you're going to end up like these people, beat up. Or worse, dead. Demons are nothing to play with. Satan's nothing to play with. Peter says, he is like a lion stalking us, seeking whom he can devour. This is not somebody we play with. See, I've been baptized almost 30 years and been studying the Bible. So I got maybe 30 years worth of studying. I might have maybe 20 years worth of knowledge of Satan because I actually started studying late. I was a late bloomer. But Satan started studying Jay Warner the day he was born. And he has studied me every second of my life to right now. So he knows me a lot better than I know myself. He knows when I wake up. He knows when I go to bed. He knows what particular habits I have. There's nobody to mess with if we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If we have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then we can cast out demons. We can heal by laying on hands. Because it's just like Scott threw back at me, which is my favorite verse, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Faith is the key cornerstone to everything. If we believe, from then on in we can go forward. Jesus said, "If you have the faith of mustard seed, you shall move this mountain. You shall say unto this mountain, move here to there, and it shall move." He said, "I did great things, but because I go unto the Father, you shall do greater things." And the only way we can do greater things is to have belief, have a personal relationship with Jesus, and then use the power of His name. And to show the power of His name, Paul says specifically in Philippians, he says, starting in chapter 1, "Therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. And at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now think about that. What's he saying? The name that God gave His Son is above one every other name. Every name. But on top of that, he said, that name is so powerful that when the time comes, every knee on earth that's still on earth is going to bow, whether they want to or not. Every knee in heaven will bow because we'll want to. Even every knee in hell shall bow. And every tongue everywhere, in heaven, on earth, and in hell, shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Everyone. Now to me, that's what you call a powerful ammunition. You want ammunition against the devil? You want ammunition against ill health? You want ammunition against being poor? You want ammunition against depression? You want ammunition against anything this world can offer? It's right there in that two-word name, Jesus Christ. If God has so set His Son's name up so high, then when the time comes, everything, and it doesn't say every person, it says every knee. That means every animal, every reptile, every human being. And when the time comes, every animal, every human being, every reptile, everything that lives will bow down to Jesus Christ and will confess His name. Now that's power. That is power. And that is ours. God meant for us to go forward. As I told Tony today, my philosophy from an old evangelist is, if I haven't moved forward one step today, I'm a backslider. If I'm not one step closer to Jesus Christ and one step closer to what He wants me to be in heaven, I'm a backslider. I judge no man. That's God's job. And you have to judge yourselves. If you want to go forward, you need Jesus Christ as your personal friend, not just your Savior. You know, there's a big difference between being saved and having Jesus as your personal friend. And when Jesus is your personal friend, then the rest of the world is easy. Because there's nothing in the world that can bother you. There's nothing in the world that can take you down. I was reading my devotion this morning about depression. And it's saying it was natural for human beings to get depressed sometimes. Whether it's a death, whether it's something else, we get depressed. But if we try to get out of our depression through our own natural means, it never happens. It somehow trips us up. But if we go to the Lord and let the Holy Spirit give us an inspiration from Him, that inspiration will take us out of our depression every single time.
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.